So that's what it is for me. It's that process of getting closer and closer and closer to what I meant to say.
Welcome to this Epic Life Podcast. My name is Christopher Carter. My friends call me KC. We have a fairly mind-blowing interview for you this week. To provide a little context, I remember the postered walls of the dorm room I was visiting in 1993 when I first heard this guitar playing.
Just the thought of our bed makes me crumble like the plaster way you punch the wall beside my head, and I try to draw the line.
And once that voice delivering those words kicked in, I was a diehard fan for life. Our guest today is the vastly influential, socially conscious, talented, and prolific Ani DeFranco. As an artist, Ani has released 21 albums on her own Righteous Babe record label. She's an accomplished songwriter, performer, multi-instrumentalist, and producer. She's also an activist, feminist, wife, and soon-to-be mother of two. I caught up with Ani during soundcheck at a recent stop through Kent, Ohio. I deserve special credit for keeping my shit together while I asked her about all of the above. Throughout our conversation, we'll hear clips of the songs we reference. Our theme today is legacy. This Epic Life welcomes Ani DeFranco.
What I recognized really clearly starting with Red Letter Year a few years ago, kind of your return after having the baby, right?
Yeah.
Was that you were really outspoken about this pursuit of consciousness, higher consciousness. Do you agree with that?
Yeah. I think, like, in my earlier work, you know, it's like a young person grappling with their place in the world, with the messed up structure of the world, and really coming to terms with their society. And then, yeah, I think my more recent work is like grappling with myself, you know, trying to shift the template that was set up so very early on that defines my reactions and my, you know, makes these repeating patterns that I've now begun to notice. And yeah, deal with those like we all do.
It only takes a few years to notice the patterns, right?
Yeah, and then a few more decades to change them.
I thought this track perfectly summarized our conversations today. Off her 2008 album, Red Letter Year, this is track two. I love this.
Built your amazing career early on by taking very personal things and making them universal, being a real open book. And I thought that more so starting with Red Letter Year, I mean, definitely throughout, you know, your activism work too, but kind of flipping it and making the universal very personal in some way.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's always been my game, you know? I mean, right from my first record, you know, I'm writing about an abortion I had when I was 18. And to me, exactly like what you were opened with, you know, to me, you know, all of these things are political, all of these things are universal, all of these very personal, specific individual events are shared, you know, and have import if you look at them, you know, through a lens that maybe incorporates more than yourself, you know. So I think that's what I've always tried to do, use my own experience to speak to something bigger, or, you know, when something bigger is reflecting my own experience, or I'm taking it very personally, or, you know, it's all one thing, as you say.
I was kind of revisiting the most current record on the way out here, and I listened to Amendment.
Oh,
and that
yeah.
song is epic.
Yeah, it is. It was like this incredibly lengthy, arduous writing process, you know, of, you know, trying to put very specific political ideas and petitions into accessible language, I hope. One of my exercises in the writing of that song was to keep the image of my sister-in-law or my two Republican sisters-in-law like right in front of my face, you know, like try to sing it in a way that they won't recoil from. Right. I mean, I don't, you know. And then of course, as we ended up, you know, sort of making the recording, it sort of manifested in a very like dark kind of heavy, you know, well, the spook rock
the
kind
solo,
of way.
But... This, when it kicks into the solo,
oh, yeah.
It's like that.
I love that.
Deep, dark.
Scaric.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
But it does, you know, I mean, I think some of my just angst and frustration over the whole thing is what came out, you know.
Yeah.
It's the 21st frickin' century.
Right.
Can we get to some basics here about women's emancipation?
Wouldn't it be nice if we had an amendment to give civil rights to women? To once and for all just really lay it down from the point of view of women. I know what you're thinking, that's just redundant. Chicks got it good now, they can almost be president. But it's worker against worker, time and time again. Cause the rich use certain issues as a tool. When I say we need the ERA, it ain't cause I'm a fool. It's cause without it nobody can get away with anything.
Did you always know that you wanted to have kids at some point?
No, no. My songs were my kids. My job was my life.
Yeah.
Totally, I mean, I don't know, happy. I mean, totally fulfilled.
Right.
Through all of that. I never really, you know, I'm not a noticeably maternal person, you know? I mean, once you have a kid, you
know. I'm sure you are for your crew and band and stuff.
Yeah, yeah, right. Of course, you have a kid and you discover sides of yourself that...
Yeah.
You didn't even suspect were right. In there. But no, it was a surprise to me.
In Red Letter Year, the two themes that are pretty strong in that record were the birth of the daughter. There are a lot of, a few songs about that, beautiful songs. And then the consciousness stuff. Do you see any coincidence with both of those showing up around the same time?
You know, I'd love to say that there was something like new and startling, some sort of development. But I think that's always been... You know, I think sort of trying to evolve my own consciousness has been going on since the beginning of my writing, and also interacting with my, you know, Red Letter Year also has the atom on it.
Right.
And, you know, like another huge, significant piece of writing for me, which was just basically about nuclear power, you know, and about, you know, my thought about splitting atoms. So there's always, you know, along the way, you know, that sort of, for me, that kind of like constant resonance between the inward and the outward evolution, you know, and how you see, you know, of course, significant changes in your life, like having a family, are going to reflect
right
instantly and visibly. But again, they're again also always resonating with you know, others and with the whole society. And
I was actually going to bring up the atom. I'm so glad you did. What went into writing something like that? It seems like a multi-draft kind of process.
Yeah. Yeah, long, you know, some songs, you know, like Amendment or the Atom, they just take months and months and months and months and months and months, you know.
Pick them up, put them down, polish them, keep going.
Mm-hmm. And pull them out on stage in various forms. Of development and throw it against the you know, the darkness and see what comes back. And it's a really good job, though, in life, and anybody, I guess, can do it, you know, of telling the truth, telling your truth, because then it's just, it's not like you ever get lost like Mitt Romney and don't know what to say. If you just keep thinking about it, you can eventually hone in on exactly what you want to say, you know?
True expression.
Yeah. So that's what it is for me. It's that process of getting closer and closer and closer to what I meant to say.
Yeah. So that song stands out for you as one of those kind of arrival points. This is definitely way more evolved than where you started.
Yeah, I mean, I really love The Atom. You know, to me, that was like, it's a piece of writing that I'm proud of, you know, that I think that my sister-in-law might hear, mm-hmm. you know? You know, I want to present radical, progressive, you know, revolutionary viewpoints yeah. in a way that can make sense to more than just my tribe. That's my hope.
The glory of the atom begs a reverent word. The primary design of the whole universe. Yeah, let us sing its praise. Unit of matter with its orbiting electrons echoing off the solar system like a hawk in the hills at dawn. The smallest unit of matter uniting bird and rock and tree and you and me. Oh, which everything distills, the air, the wood smoke there, and the hills. Oh, leave me here surrounded by everything that's real, far outside the boundaries of digitized ordeal. Yeah, leave me here awake, leave me here. Of the whole universe. the magnificent consciousness incarnate there.
Are you ever surprised at which ones become the anthems for the audience?
Well, I guess not anymore. I've sort of seen the patterns again, yeah. You know? I mean, I think it's shifted a lot over the years, but I think a lot of the most impassioned listeners for me were other young women who were trying to elbow out some space for themselves or, you know, figure out a way to say these things that were locked up inside them. So the stuff that I've sung about along the way that has to do with sort of self-empowerment, especially from my experience as a female, you know, that stuff gets a cheer.
Yeah.
Still. But actually, one situation where I do get surprised mm-hmm. is when I leave America. And for instance, like the first few times that I played in Europe, where it made me realize how much is not just sort of some kind of inherent relationship of my music to the world. Mm-hmm. It's constructed by the media. So I go to Europe where I don't have this 20 years of framing by the media and who I am and who my music's for and what it is.
And how it's sold.
And how it's sold or perceived, you know, or judged. And so I go to Europe and suddenly I'm out of that box and it's a whole other relationship. There was like, even like the first time I started playing in Europe decades ago, just as many men as women in the audience responding to not just those key lines about female empowerment, but responding to all sorts of things.
Yeah.
And what I'm doing the guitar. Yeah. Holy shit, I'm a fully rounded human
being. I'm a real musician.
Thank God for getting
amazing.
Out of the media box, you know. Wish I didn't have this nervous laugh. Wish I didn't say half the stuff I say. Wish I could just learn to cover my tracks. Guess I'm not concerned and I'm getting away with it.
Can we talk about your guitar playing for a minute?
Sure.
I just heard them sound checking your guitar, which is like bassier and bigger than most full bands sound. As you were developing your style, where did that evolve out of for you?
I guess really just a lot of solo playing in bars.
Filling up the sound.
Yeah, and figuring out, I was always, you know, kind of a vehemently engaged person, you know. In fact,
I never picked that up.
Newsflash.
Such a wallflower.
Yeah. You know, and my whole, I think I've become a little more gentle with, you know, my eye contact shit and my, you know, just in life in general. I don't just stare people down all the time anymore. You know, I've eased up a little bit in that tip. But when I was coming up, it was all about, if you're not gonna engage me, then, you know, go home, go to sleep, get out of my way. Once I get out of bed, you know, I want something to happen. I want to be changed, change or be changed, or, you know, just that kind of like, come on, we
everything can't. You were doing at those early records, especially, you were just digging in hard.
Yeah.
You know, you could feel
the
on
a mission, kind of. The way I started playing, you know, when I learned guitar, I learned finger picking patterns, which was very useful. Mm-hmm. You know, cool.
Never with a pick much, or?
Nah, I was not. I think from the beginning, I was not so into the kind of flat line of strumming, you know, which I find undynamic, you know.
Yeah.
But finger picking, you know, it's note silence, and patterns of rhythmic patterns. And so I learned some folk picking patterns and then tightened them up and made them harder and was delving further into the juxtaposition of bam and silence, you know.
Yeah.
And that's when you're solo in a bar surrounded by people who don't know who you are and don't care. That's a way of, you know, if somebody's talking really loudly over sound and then suddenly there's no sound, their voice stands out and they shut themselves up. Then you have 3 seconds where they're turning around to see what just did that.
It's like a pattern interrupt.
Yeah. Yep, and you have 3 seconds to interest them in what comes next. And that was my whole mission, trying to connect with people in unlikely circumstances who had really no interest in doing so. And that the guitar style was all about that. It was my guitar was my weapon of shutting people up so that I could say something that might be heard.
Just really sums up 20 years of listening to your music, honestly, because your voice over time is really spun on a dime to be like whisper in your ear, profound metaphor, and then get really growly and, you know, intense, you know, like those ebbs and flows versus the linear stuff you were talking about.
It's interesting. I've, you know, finally in my musical life, I'm learning how to relax, you know, as opposed to all of that energy we were talking about, which really helps with singing.
Yeah.
You know, it really...
So many nights.
It's a much nicer sound to listen to.
Do you read music?
No.
Okay.
I did learn to read music as a... when I first learned guitar, though.
So when you guys are learning songs with your band, do you know the names of the chords you're playing, or do you leave it up to Todd to figure out the notes?
I pretty much rely on my fellow musicians to know the language.
And predominantly everything's still in alternate tunings? Do you ever play in standard?
I do. I've been writing more and more in standard as a practical measure.
Because by now it probably feels like an alternate tuning.
It does. It's a radical tuning. It truly is. Yeah. Yep, you're right.
Is it hard for you to remember songs? I'd imagine you have your notebooks with the lyrics in them. Do you have the tuning written at the top of every page?
If I'm responsible at the time of creation, which I kick myself when I don't write it down. Because
that's got to be a hard one to figure out, right?
Yep. I mean, I literally, like, I learned a couple of new old songs for this run. I'm trying to do that more. And I had to go to my... Luckily, they were in my songbook that was, you know, released.
Oh, like one that's on the shelf at music stores?
Yeah, so I got the office to send me one and I relearned it.
Oh, that's cool.
As anybody would.
So it was somebody's job to sit down and figure out what you did.
Yeah. And thank goodness, because, yeah, those older songs, I don't even know if those journals exist anymore. So,
really?
Yeah, with the super old songs, either they're in the songbooks or... you know, I'm making up a new version.
As we wrap up here, I have this idea on my site and like the work I do with people that we throw out these things we call non-negotiables, you know, so these are kind of sacred life ingredients that cannot be removed or substituted. Yeah. Knowing what I know of you only through songs and interviews over the years, I would say unquestionably that 3 of yours would be art and everything under that umbrella, activism, and now family.
Mm.
Any others that have just gotten, you know, that you find to be vital components of who you are?
What's the word for it? Maybe space? Is that the right word? You know, contemplative time, you know? I think, to me, that... especially, like, having a kid, you know?
Yes,
as you know, parents of the world... all of us, Homo sapiens in the modern world, you know, just to have this sort of mental contemplative time that it takes to arrive at a thought that is going to be necessary for your future is like so scarce. Even just because there's always a TV in the background, there's always a gizmo, a phone ringing, a this, a that. The distractions are just... constant, and I think it's very unsettling to our process as people.
I honestly believe, because I work in digital media and I study Kriya Yoga, so I meditate half hour in the morning, half hour at night. I
got
to bookend the day with it.
Good for you.
Otherwise, I find that I can't toggle between being an artist or being a dad, being a salesperson or being a friend.
Yeah.
You know, there's no immediate toggle if you don't have space in between those things.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you're just taking your crazy into each different situation.
Right.
Do you have a practice around your...
I would love to learn to meditate. I keep thinking about it more and more in my life. I think I'm going to, at some point, really... do it. But so far, just playing is my meditation. You know? So I try to just sneak off with my guitar.
Yeah.
And that is very much how I meditate.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you're a smart man. You know, I mean, it's I think it's killing us, you know. Mm-hmm. They're medicating with pharmaceuticals, oh, yeah. You know, they're buying beds that do backflips. They can't, yeah, like, why can't I sleep or function
the food
or
and the tickers while you're watching other tickers and listening.
Yeah.
I feel like all that shit's there to remind us that it's more important now more than ever to make the space you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Because nothing happens without that.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Mm-hmm. I'm bringing my 8-year-old daughter to the show tonight,
sweet.
By the way. Yeah, my wife.
Does she have a favorite tune?
She loves mariachi.
Mariachi. Okay,
yeah,
is
mariachi.
It on there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think so.
Yeah, it's on there.
Yeah, she loves mariachi. Cool. And I was trying to hip her to the older catalog, 32 flavors.
Oh yeah.
Every young woman is required to love at
yeah.
some point. A young woman.
You know what? I'll throw that in at the end.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, no problem.
Well, thank you so much for your time, Ani DeFranco.
Yeah.
I somehow kept my shit
my
together
pleasure.
Didn't freak the hell out.
Ah!
I'm
me neither.
We're going to wrap this up with a brand new track from her latest album, Which Side Are You On? This is Mariachi. Checking out this Epic Life podcast. You can subscribe to future episodes on iTunes. Visit us online at thisepiclife.com And special thanks to all the amazing people at Righteous Babe Records for an incredible evening and afternoon. Namaste.